traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
She saw Mike coming out of the club.
She heard him because of his paddle feet.
No, it's just funny because I'm starting the intros. I'm like getting cooking. Like I'm trending number 14 on YouTube right now. I don't have time for this.
Are you really?
Yes.
Wow.
No, don't clap. Just don't waste my fucking time.
Is this your first time trending?
Mike's okay, gonna blow up.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. We're back. It's been a while since we filmed and since you've seen an episode of Impulsive. So if you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. We're about to hit 2 million subscribers. What's so funny, Mike?
You've been saying that for like a year and a half.
I have. I really have.
He's on autopilot.
I am on autopilot. None of this makes any sense.
Told you shouldn't be.
What?
Driving a car.
Shouldn't be what? Drinking? Is that what you're going to say?
Oh, no.
Yes, it is.
Finish your statement.
Logan drank.
I shouldn't be what?
Doing DMT.
I'm not going to stop doing hard drugs, Jeff. Get over
it. You can't force him. He's got to stop when he wants
it. Okay, fine.
I need you to complete sentences. What were you going to say?
I'm done.
No, it's taken a piece of my soul that I haven't heard what you want to say.
Shouldn't force stuff.
Oh, what do you mean? Like consensual sex?
Maybe
you
that.
Definitely shouldn't do that. But also even just like something that's too thick to go into the toaster. Like, you know, bagels when you have to push it down. It's going to burn.
How are you going
to
get a toaster in though?
When you're trying to build it like a Lego structure and like one Lego doesn't fit and you jam it. Anyways, we're back. We're about to hit 2 million subscribers. No, we're not.
Tetris head ass.
We have so much, so many things to talk about. I do feel a little rusty, so hopefully I wake up as this podcast goes on. But Mike cheated on his girlfriend that I introduced him to.
That's what we're going to kick off with. Fuck.
I mean, we might as well, dude. Because
let's address the fucking flaming dumpster in the room.
Well, it's just buzzing, dude. You're buzzing. Your channel is getting more views than very well established YouTubers. Even myself, bro. I've never seen numbers like this since Jake Paul in 2017.
I'm taking it with a grain of salt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it's sustainable. I like the idea that people like the new style. Like, I'm also vlogging as well, as opposed to just doing the night shift sit downs. But I'm not married to the idea of getting 3 to 4 million views per episode. It's been a wild little run, but it's been exciting.
No, it's good.
Been fun.
It's good. It's odd that you've been able to pick up the idea of being a creator as well as you have, you know, and I'm proud to be your friend. And I think we have a nice little combo. You said this.
Yeah.
It's like I do like the more high quality, like produced, whatever. And you're really funny and good at making something out of nothing.
Behind the scenes, longer form stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and obviously Lana's helped a lot, but.
Then why'd you cheat on her?
Was she your girlfriend? Because you said that earlier.
She wasn't.
I just wanted to say that.
I'm joking. There was no official conversation between Mike and Lana ever to establish boyfriend.
That you weren't involved in or that. Happened.
I never should let Mike talk.
No, it's fine. It's good. No, I think it's good.
Logan Paul's statement, it did not happen.
Well, I just like the narrative, and it's like funny for me to like tease Mike for cheating, but you can't cheat on someone who's not your girlfriend, or there are no established like exclusivity rules. You know what I'm saying?
This whole thing,
is it unspoken?
No, it's not. No, because that's how you get into dangerous territory.
Gray areas. This whole thing with Lana happened at the same time as this new vlog style for you, as well as like me going down the new style route as well. And it's what's happening is the line between reality and content is getting so blurred right now. Like you guys are seeing quite literally exactly what is going on in our day-to-day lives. Like none of this shit is besides like crystal hunting in South Carolina. Cause we probably,
but that
have
actually
done that.
Happened.
It did happen. And none of it staged. Like there's no like staging dates. Like the only thing that was staged out of the whole thing was him introducing her to me for my birthday. But honestly,
wait, what do you mean?
That was real.
Like, sorry. The only thing that was like set up, like you set it up. So it was like a surprise.
But still
it wasn't
real life.
Yeah. whatever. So anyways, the line between like reality and content has become so blurred. So in my content, when I'm calling her like my girlfriend and saying like she's my girlfriend, we're like kind of like toying with that idea, but we never had like a conversation that obliterated that gray area of like, yo, are we exclusive or are we not exclusive?
This is so funny because the hypocrisy. You make so much fun of me for playing house with the women that I hang out with. And then, bro, when you throw out the word girlfriend, like, to us, it's kind of like a funny joke thing, especially because to us, it's so clear that these women are not our girlfriends. Right. But they're like girls who we like and we like hanging out with and spending time with. But that word has a lot of weight to it.
Yeah, a ton.
Especially to the woman.
A ton. I just didn't know. I like didn't know that she was so serious about it either. Like she's, you know, for people that don't know, I mean, she's 3 years or like 2+ years out of shooting. She hasn't shot a scene for any, you know, porn in so long. She's on the way out of a marriage. Like I didn't know that we were like truly moving down this route as fast because we didn't have conversations. Like if you're in a new relationship out there, that communication and that discussion around like guardrails and stuff like that is so important. We didn't have any of those. And so when I went to New York, I was away from her. Like I was still talking to her every day. We've been working on a million different things. Like I'm helping her on her business side, a whole bunch of shit. We have a really cool, like holistic relationship right now. And when I got to New York, you know, this fucking dumpster gremlin, dude, just like, I don't know how else to describe her, dude. She slid into my DMs. We have the tweet, but I'll just
first
say.
One. So yeah, like when I slide in DMs, bro, like I said, my opener is usually like an emoji or sometimes I'll be like, hey. Her opener was, well, like, hey, can I suck
would,
your
I would suck your dick, just throwing that out there. And this was back in December before I met Lana, before I ever met her. And I was like, all right, like, the way I've operated for the past 10 years is if you really so badly want to put your mouth in my penis, I'm not going to stop you. I will not be there saying, please do not do that. And so, and so that night when I was, so
Wait, you're not going to be there? How would you not be there to say that?
And listen here, fucking metaphysical psychopath. Let me just finish this thought. So that night I went out and she's like, oh, he was pursuing me. She was like, I like messaged.
Where was Lana?
Lana was back in LA. Okay. She was here. And so when I was in New York, I was going out with a big group and I'm like,
Didn't she also give you a pass? Didn't Lana say you can fuck other girls as long as I don't find out? Which, by the way, you broke.
Yeah,
she found out. You told her actually.
I did.
He told her.
What?
He snitched on himself.
In a way, I did.
There's some serious feelings here.
Not in a way.
That's some serious feelings.
I was with Lana yesterday, and she says she tricked Mike into snitching on himself. She's devious, dude.
She is. She's really she's smart, but also, I wouldn't have been able to keep that secret. I'm not good at keeping secrets. I have to. Like, it burns within me when I know something that I'm not like that would hurt someone else.
So okay, you did feel bad about it.
I did feel bad.
He told me that.
I did feel bad because I knew that I hurt her. And I don't think that I cheated. I don't think that I was unfaithful or that I was a liar or anything like that. But I know that what I did hurt her and that hurts me.
While you were walking into the room, were you thinking about her?
Yeah.
You were thinking about Lana.
I was thinking about her.
While
in
you were walking
too.
Into
and
the room.
And there was so much of me that was like, I shouldn't. So
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Let me just back up just a little bit. So I had this girl had posted a story and I had messaged her and like with some like, you know, the party emoji where the guy's blowing the little out of his mouth.
Yeah,
like 3 of those like random shit. And then she's
confetti.
Like, what are you doing tonight? Like we did that whole back and forth thing. And I'm answering one word answers. You come through, going out with a squad.
As you should.
Because I could, in all honesty, dude, could give a fuck if this girl even exists in this world. Like, don't give a single shit. Never did. The day she messaged me, can I suck your dick? She went into a folder of girls that messaged me, can I suck your dick? It wasn't a cool thing. There was nothing there. And so that night, she shows up at the club, dressed like a fucking idiot, with white flames on her pants, red shoes. I'm like, yo, this girl, she's like texting me, I can't get in the club. And you're standing outside the fucking club trying to get in. So I'm like, all right, well, I can't help you. So I'm in the club for 2 hours with Josie, with Logan at a place called Little Sister. We leave there. She runs up to me. I'm like, yo, I'm going to Oak. I'm like this. I'm going to Oak. I'm with fucking Victoria's Secret models going to Oak. This girl's like, hey, 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 where are you going? So I get in a taxi. I leave her at the first club and she gets in another taxi and follows me to Oak.
Wow.
Then she can't get into Oak and she's texting me like, yo, can you get me into Oak? I'm like, I can't help you. I'm sorry. So she stands outside Oak until I walk out of the fucking club.
Should've been inside. Should have been a sign.
She was in like a little hallway. And so I get outside.
I got nothing but respect for this girl.
Yeah, that's patient.
She knew. She knew.
She had a plan.
She knew.
Yeah, of course.
If she could get Mike's dick in her mouth,
she was going to be famous.
A little bit of clout.
Just a little bit.
For sure.
And you fucking got it.
And
she got it. I stepped in the trap, dude. And by the way, like,
you should hire her as your assistant.
Dude, she's devious, bro. And so I get outside, and when I walk out, she's like, where are you going? You gotta keep going. And by the way, keep going for me. Keep going. What? I'm not even
in
drinking.
In that Kermit voice?
Yeah, she sounded like a fucking gremlin. She crawled out of the sewer drain. She was like, you gotta keep going.
This was her. Ready? She saw Mike coming out of the club. She heard him because his paddle feet.
And so she's like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going back to my fucking hotel. And like, even just saying it, I'm like, what the fuck am I fucking doing? So,
and sober, by the way.
And sober. That's so I have no excuse.
Sober.
So I told him last night, I'm like, or I told Lana last night. So I met Lana last night to talk about all this. And I'm like, she's like, what was the deal? Like, why did you do it? And I told him, and like, I don't want to say it the same way I said it, but I was going back to the room to probably jerk off. And
that's fine.
Don't say it.
I'll just say it simply a lot easier than the way I said it last night. I was like, yo, why don't I just have this like automated for me? Do you know what I'm saying?
So smart business.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, efficiency.
I didn't feel, and for the past 10 years of being a fuckboy, that was a decision I could make. Like if I wanted to just like sit down and have that procedure handled for me, I could do that. So she comes back to the room and like, she's talking. She's like, I suck Tiger's dick, but I wouldn't fuck him because he's ugly. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, what am I doing with this fucking girl, bro?
When Mike was, we do a debrief. And the next morning when he was telling me this story, I could tell in his recollection that he was reluctant to even be near her. Like, he really was reluctant. And then I think just like habit. Mike came out, bro. He's been a fuckboy for 10 years. Yeah. Like, and he's just in the scenario with a bust down Tatiana who's primed to just get some penis in her mouth.
So she gets going, and my biggest goal at this point is get it fucking done. So she gets going, and usually, like, I have talked about this before. Like, there's control levers for your your finishing, right? Yeah. I have all control levers off. 1 through 7. all on. Fire.
No ABCs, no grandma.
No grandma, no priest. Fire on command. Fire as soon as possible, bro. And get her the fuck out.
Did it happen?
Immediate. Bro, amazing. She was like, it was like a minute probably, dude.
Perfect.
And then I'm like, look at the fucking time, dude. And I go, do you want me to get an Uber home? And she's like, I'm a big girl, I could pay for my own shit. And I was like, well, shit, what's stopping you then?
Amazing.
And so she gets an Uber and she walks out, and I'm like, and then I sit on my bed and I go,
Michael, what have you done? You heard your mom's
fucking
voice.
You're a literally
Michael. Michael, you can't do porn.
At least you didn't do porn.
Well, so there was a few saving graces, which was that I didn't sleep with her, obviously. And
mind you, this is no normal girl.
Yeah,
she knows
of course.
Exactly. This girl sucked Dr. Phil's dick or something.
What?
Wait, no.
Hold on. No, I think that's right. That is right.
Or wait, no. Did Dr. Phil suck your? Someone sucked Dr. Phil's dick.
Dr. Phil sucked her dick.
Is Dr. Phil sucking?
She was on top of. No, my bad. She was on Dr. Phil while he was sucking it.
No.
Look, bro, we done go to New York. Every time we go there, there's some sort of blowjob controversy that we just don't want any more of it.
Two or three things. Can't remember how many I have. One, Lana, I'm sorry. I did. Obviously, she knows this now. I hurt her feelings. This was not a result of some girl's attempt. This was my fucking fault. It was my decision. I am embarrassed by it. It was a stupid fucking decision. I acted in vain and thought I could do something, and I shouldn't have fucking done it. Number one. And I really feel bad for Lana for having put her through it. Number two, I also feel very badly for this girl. I feel very, very bad. I won't say her name because it's the only reason she did this, but I feel very badly for her. I have used a couple describing terms for her today. That'll be the end of what I'll call her badly, because she needs serious help. She needs serious help. Her whole goal in life is to go around and suck dicks and then expose people. Like, that is her life's purpose.
Like, you know, the great Kanye West once said, at least a blowjob's better than no job.
Facts. And so those are the two things. But also, just like I said, like, these fuckboy training wheels have been screwed on tight for 10 years. My last relationship was in 2011.
Did you have the conversation with Lana last night about if you were going steady?
100%. By the way, the new laws are in effect. If you're watching this show right now, you see a clip of this.
Did you film it?
And you're a hoe. Don't even try it.
They're going to come and try.
They can try, but they ain't going to come.
Hold on. What are you saying right now?
Hoes be gone.
No.
I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying I'm dating Lana officially. But
what are you saying?
I'm saying I'm going to start respecting her feelings.
And what are her feelings?
That while we talk.
Are you dating Lana Rhodes?
No. We're talking. We're exploring.
You should have her on the night shift and you should discuss it.
Why does everything have to be fucking content, you motherfuckers?
It'd be amazing. No, it'd be amazing. People don't see that conversation.
No, we are. But at the same time, like, we met less than a month ago. We're hanging out a lot. We're going to dinners. We're talking. We're getting to know each other. And so if she wants to call it a relationship on her end, that's fine. I'm not ready to call it that yet. I'm not ready to say that she's my official girlfriend. I just don't know enough about her yet. We have a lot of things that we have to work past. She has a lot of shortcomings that I need to overlook. I have a lot of shortcomings that she needs to overlook, including this new situation. And so, like, to call it a romantic relationship, I think, is a little early, but we're...
You have slept together.
What's that?
You have slept together?
In the same bed. Inside each other. I like watching this. And I told Mike this. It's so cool for me, being the king of controversy, to not be in any controversy. Actually, to be thriving and very happy, may I add.
Doing well.
And then to watch my friend go through everything that I've gone through, but 1,000 times worse, is like, I'm just like, I know what it's like, buddy. You're going to get through this.
I asked him on the plane last night. I was like, is there like an off button for scandals?
Is there a way to turn scandals off? And he's like, I can't imagine what you were going through. I'm like, yeah, it's not great, man.
It got picked up by like everybody from my hometown. By the way, like, my fucking mom and little sister are messaging me. Like, why did you let Dr. Phil girl suck your dick? Like, at what point did you? I don't know, because I suck.
and as his friend, you know, I'm here to be like, no, it's fine, bro. Like, you're not exclusive, whatever.
Right.
I was just laughing at the whole situation. I was like, man, you fucked up. I can't believe you did that.
What were you thinking?
Yes, low key.
I'm excited for the Bring the Girl Home to Meet the Parents episode.
I mean, they all watch.
Michael, this is your new girlfriend.
Michael, so what do you do, Lana? I heard you do porn.
That's Robin. I like the way she says porn. She goes,
Porn.
Something tells me my dad's going to be familiar with her work already. Oh, yeah. Leaves me like, oh, I've seen you before. Yeah, I've seen your work.
But so you and Lana made up. I heard some shit went down last night. Actually, not. I heard. I facilitated it.
Do we talk about it yet?
Yeah, sure. This episode's coming out tomorrow. The vlog coming out on Wednesday features our German videographer, David, caught in bed with Lana.
No.
That was, we pranked Mike.
So this is what I'm saying, amazing. Too. It's like, where is this line between real? So I walk into this apartment with heavy weights on my shoulders. I have a box of cupcakes. I'm like ready to like go on this meaningful, remorseful exchange of words with her. And I walk in and there's David the German fucking naked in bed. She's in lingerie looking hotter than she's ever fucking looked. And I walk in and I go, here we fucking go. So we have this exchange. I'm like, right. What the fuck is
she
this
has,
shit, dude?
She has brought up David before.
That's like, why. That was, you know, why.
I have like a vlog or something.
For my storyline, yeah. I like that she, yeah. I my voiceover is, you know, Lana's taking a liking to David.
I remember watching the vlog.
Yeah.
You should hear what David says about Lana.
Whoa.
I know what he said. We had a couple nice car rides today. But yeah, I was in the bathroom hiding. Watching all of it go down.
Yeah, so I'm like having this
cameras
exchange.
Like set up.
I'm having this exchange with her, with them, and all of a sudden I see fucking Dumbo pop out of the bathroom with the fucking vlog camera. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking. I ran. You'll see it tomorrow. I ran away from onto the patio and he goes, where are you going, Mike? Where the fuck is going?
I can't believe you didn't know I was behind it. You just thought they did that for leisure?
Or like she did it? At one point you thought she was like, yo, David, come over here.
Because
let me fucking Mike.
This is what I walk into. Under a pink blanket.
Is that a condom on the bed?
Yeah, there's condoms. There's used condoms all over the floor. I'm picking up the condoms going, yo, who uses condoms? There's no cum in it. What happened? So and they're like, he took it off and came on my phone. I'm like, what, guys? And so
it went on for a little bit.
It went
before
on.
Dumbo
yeah, before
jumped
it
out.
Jumped out. He let it like play out. But it's gonna be funny. But
I'm excited to see those reactions.
Oh, it's gonna be good. I'm telling you, bro, the vlogs are back, and it's cool to be actually liking doing them. Because I remember what it was like to hate doing them at the end of my daily vlogging run, like really just hate the person that I was on camera, and just like it was so draining doing them. Now I'm like really enjoying just fucking around all the time and filming our real life for content rather than always, like you said, forcing shit. I think it's a good time to say that when David was in bed with Lana, we did give him some Blue Chew, so he was
rock hard.
You'll see that on the video.
And also, this is just a window to our sponsor, Blue Chew.
I don't think you're supposed to say that. I think you could have just trailed right into it.
Blue Chew offers many performance enhancement for the bedroom, because like David, we'd all like to go a little longer and last a few extra rounds. Blue Chews can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. They can be taken on a full or empty stomach, and it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation or waiting in line at a pharmacy. It ships to your door directly in a discreet package, and it gives you confidence in bed every single time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. Here's a great deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. That is BlueChew.com, promo code Logan. So yeah, that was a good start to the podcast, I feel like we knocked the rust off a little bit. And also, it's good to see you and Lana back in the saddle. What's good?
Speaking of knocking the rust off, you know there's some crystals cooking out back. Probably can't say
the way you
crystals cooking out back.
We got some crystal cooking out back.
So throughout our, we got Miami.
Yep.
Jake, my brother's fight. Then we went crystal hunting in South Carolina. Then New York. Just want to hit on this crystal thing real quick.
Yeah.
You saw the vlog. We went crystal hunting.
Amazing.
I legitimately have never had that much fun in my life. It was top five experiences, and I was there for like 36 hours. So shout out to Jake, the almighty, for taking me. He like facilitated the whole thing, but something about unearthing these crystals that have not been touched by humans ever for 350 million, ever. They've been in the ground for 350 million years, and like pulling it out from the earth, and they're just so pretty. Like I'm a nerd with that shit. Like when I was younger, I collected rocks and crystals, and doing it in real life was incredible. I think I'm actually going to invest in like a crystal farm or like land or something.
How do they find that land? Like, how do they know the crystals are there?
Apparently like hunters or farmers walk and there's like some shitty ones on the surface.
This one in particular, they were building the highway or like expanding the highway.
Yeah.
They found like massive crystals just on the surface.
Basically. Yeah.
So whose crystals are they?
So it's the guy who owns the land.
Got it.
He leases the land and splits the profit from the crystals
with
the diggers. So, bro, I unearthed a $100,000 crystal.
It was huge.
That's what they said. That wasn't clickbait. And I know it seemed like clickbait because it's so crazy. Like my first time ever going crystal hunting. Bro, it was this
so big, dude.
Points, flat faces, amethyst, deep dark purple, just a beautiful, beautiful piece. Like I knew when I picked it out of the earth, mind you, I don't know any fucking thing about crystals. Yeah. I knew when I picked it up, I was like, holy shit, this is like, I have a really, really beautiful piece. I'm going to show a picture of it right here.
And where's it go now? It just goes to someone buys it, auction, store.
That's the problem. I don't want it to be someone. It needs to be fucking me.
Oh my God.
Look at this thing.
Can I get a good deal?
That is so beautiful, dude.
So
that is beautiful.
Dude, it's
and
incredible.
I see people that have those in their houses. Like you have a lot of crystals in your house.
I do. So now we went back and looked at them. They're nowhere near the pristine, super sharp perfection points. That yeah. this is.
That can like be on a stand in like a, you know.
Yeah, I need it. I need it. So
I'm. They call them museum pieces.
Yes. Museum pieces. Yeah. So I'm working with this guy Brian to get it appraised first, because like who knows how much it's actually worth.
Cool note. Girlfriend's grandfather, multiple years in a row, won the Gem and Mineral show for best pieces in Tucson, which is the number one show.
They wouldn't stop talking about Tucson.
Yep,
that's where they sell them. Yes, they take them there. Holy shit!
Yep,
I think the coolest
Rook and Jelks 2 years in a row.
I'm excited to have done this. I didn't know I was gonna like it this much, and for the longest time, I've been like kind of wanting to sink my teeth into like a hobby. Like my uncle Dave did woodworking.
And, you have a chair,
yeah,
in your backyard,
whittling.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's Jeff. That's Uncle Jeff. My uncle's really like woodworking. Yeah, like whittling and like making bowls and stuff. I think mine's gonna be like searching for like fossils, crystals, like just stuff in the earth, excavating, digging.
I may be wrong to ask it, but like, where does the like skill come in? So you just walk, there's crystals on the floor, and you just dig?
No. You got to find the vein where the crystals lie. It's all about like sensing where they could be. Like the dude we worked with, he was like the foremost expert in like crystal discovery. He's been like doing it for like 15 years.
Bro, this sounded like Mike in the Flat Earth doc just now.
This is our one of the best clips. The coolest thing for me, I obviously didn't, I'm sure you're not surprised, didn't share the same passion for it that he did. But the coolest thing to me
and was
about
upset
it,
about the Yeezys.
I was upset, ruined my fucking knees. By the way, people were pissed about that, dude. People like were pissed them? That I wore those, yeah. But the coolest thing for me was knowing that I was the first person to ever touch something. Like when, like if you grab it out of the ground, like the only other person that may have touched it would be like some like caveman Dr. Phil guest.
We all took
that existed in like an earlier time.
We all took crystals and gave them to our beloveds, and we all use that same line and be like, yo, you're the second person to touch this.
When in reality, we're all just like rubbing our hands out of shit.
Love it.
No, they That's loved dope. It, bro. I got dope. Josie a nice That's special. Crystal. Yeah, yeah. It's just like a cool piece. I can't believe it like affected me as much as it did, and I actually feel kind of like corny, like
dope.
Like saying I like crystals like that, but not like you like them, Andre, so don't get your fucking hopes up, all right?
Give me one.
Huh?
Give me one.
We did not get you one. You have to come. You got to earn it, Andre.
Would you ever date a crystal?
But I'll give you one. I got one for you.
You know those people that date like inanimate objects? Could you see yourself ever like fornicating with one?
No, because I don't like it for like.
I can
like,
see you doing that, Mike.
You think so?
Like I'm not praying to the crystal. I'm not like sucking the energy from it. I just appreciate like the beauty that like Earth made. It's phenomenal. It's and by cool. the way, save the Earth, save the tiger.
Speaking of beauty. You got a full on thing going on too, yeah. With that one.
Talking about Jake's fight.
I was saying with the girl, the Josie girl.
Yeah, so Jake won his fight, in Miami. Nah, I just am not good at communicating.
That's why you have a podcast.
Yeah,
with girls.
How about
about
Jake
emotions?
How about Jake nice. On that first round fight? Win.
Wow.
You know what?
Here we go.
When the Jake Paul and Gibb fight was first confirmed, my initial reaction after like seeing Gibb and his like athletic prowess was, what the fuck are you people thinking? Why on God's green earth would you ever think Gibb stands even the slightest chance against Jake? And then I saw Gibb training and how hard he was working, and his friends were gassing him up, and even KSI's like, there's no way Jake's gonna win. And so I was like, well, maybe he has a chance.
Yeah, I know.
And then when he won, I got shot back into the past. Same. Like, whose fucking dumb idea was this? This not even on the same level. Yeah.
It was interesting because Deji obviously put up a better fight.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody was like, oh my God, he's gonna kill him. Right? There's no chance. But he put up a much better fight.
The Olin Tungies, KSI and his brother, they got something. They got a heart. Have athletic ability.
But you gotta say,
like,
Gibb had heart. You can't say that he doesn't have heart. It just
That's true.
He definitely worked his, you know, like has heart. I don't understand the whole bouncing thing. Like,
why was he doing that? I think he was.
If he would have standed straight up, I think he would have gotten hit less.
It's not his style.
No, hold on a second. That's a style choice.
I've never seen him
bounce.
I've watched the other fights that he's been in. He's never bounced like that.
You did not watch the other fights. He was that is his style.
Really?
But yes.
Not that low. Of squatting?
Yes.
That love.
Yes, just a weird, unorthodox, like power forward.
I think as you continue to watch these fights, these DAZN or like these celebrity or influencer battles go down, we're gonna continue to see these massive variances between what we think and what we expect to happen and what actually happens. Like, here's what we know about each fighter going into the ring. I'm going to kick his fucking ass. And the other fighter goes, I'm going to fuck that dude up. And then everybody's like, damn, yo, he said he's going to fuck that dude up, but he said he's going to kick that dude's ass. So I think he's going to kick that dude's ass. Then they get in the ring. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. I mean, because no one knows shit.
We all got massive mouths. We're showing that we like performing.
And no pass. No resume. Yeah. It's like, yo, I'm going to kick that dude's ass. People are like, and then Vegas is like, the odds are -220/220 based on the ass kicking comment. Like, it's all such a shit show at this point.
Unfortunately, we haven't seen it, or at least I think we saw it, but it wasn't called and it didn't happen like that beautiful knockout. I have to say yours was, you know, not biased. It was like he was on the floor. He got up. He was wobbling.
Real clean.
There was
hit.
None of that yet.
Gibb had, I believe it was a 3 knockdown rule.
Yes, in Florida.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, that's so it's different in different states. It's different rules.
Was that a KO or a TKO?
That was a KO. No, that was a KO.
No, TKO.
Technical knockout.
Oh, okay.
Because the 3 knockdown rule.
Yeah, he wasn't counted 10 out.
He wasn't sleeping.
He wasn't 10 out. He was 3 down.
Yeah, kind of disappointed. I really would have liked to see like a flush hit against the face or like some like very decisive victory.
And Eddie Hearn was calling for it on this one. He said something along the lines of
10 ounce
gloves, no headgear. Somebody's getting knocked out. And once again, Eddie Hearn has lied to the people. Yo, did you by any chance happen to see who my guests were for that fight? I sat in the second row back behind Juju Schuster, who we'd just done the pre-show with. And I sat next to Lana, and then I had to watch over Josie as well because Logan was in the ring. But to my right
was JJ, yeah.
Was KSI. No one in between us. So which was just such an interesting thing. And over the past couple months, even, I've continued to try to like build bridges with these people because, by the way, I fucking called it. I told myself the whole time going into it, I'm like, I don't think these people are going to suck as bad as we have created this animosity to support. And then I've done
as people. Yeah, yeah.
And then you're talking about JJ and the Sidemen.
And I started doing shows with fucking Ethan and Bazinga and the rest of the guys. They've all been super cool to me, but I didn't know about JJ. I didn't know about KSI. And so when I walked in, I walked up to him and I dapped him up and I was like, yo, what's good? Like, said what's up to him, like really quick, and then sat down. And then I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen the story that I posted. It went kind of like a little viral on Twitter after Gibb lost, and he had his head down in his hands. And I don't know if anybody got this on video. I haven't seen it yet, but I walked up to him after and I like right after when he had his head down and I tapped him and he looks up like this. He goes, like, he didn't know what the fuck to do. And I go, hey man, I've been in your exact place before, but much worse. I go, it's going to be just fine. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? He was like, all right, thanks, man. And I just walked away with my beautiful point.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I watched my best friend lose, you know, and then he's watching his really good friend.
I don't think that was what was going through his mind. I think it was like, fuck,
I got to fight.
I have
Jake
to
now.
Fight Jake now. He talked so much shit. I don't think he was like, oh man, like my friend.
No,
feels
but they
so
all
bad.
Wanted Gibb to win.
They wanted him to win. But I think more importantly,
they wanted Jake Paul to lose.
What you see afterwards when he was in the ring and what happened and what came over him, he was angry about having to fight Jake and dealing with Jake for another year.
Jake is a nuisance, bro. Like, I'm telling you, you don't want to be the guy across from him, whether it's on a stage, whether it's in the ring, online. He's just like, man, he can get under your skin. And I think he's going to win the fight. I might be biased because my last name is Paul, but like I've always said, Jake is a much more technical boxer than I am. I think if I did MMA, I'd be so strong. Jake's a really good boxer.
Yeah, he's I don't know that he's a more technical boxer than you. He's ferocious.
No, he is.
You're a really technical counterpuncher.
I just had this conversation
with someone last night. Jake, I said, Logan's a more technically sound boxer. You have the strategic approach amazingly. He's good at combos and he's ferocious.
Yeah.
He throws a lot of punches.
I think the biggest difference, really, and I watched it again, and he took it from, I think, your camp and then obviously got added onto it. His check hooks showed that those arms, both his left check hook and his right check hook, were there saying, yo, if you walk into this, you're going to fucking feel it.
I know.
And Shannon said it so many times to you. in training is like, it's just to show it that it's there.
That's what I did not clock. I like he said, I'm a timing guy. So like I'll wait till the third round till your hand lowers a little bit to hit you with that check hook.
Yep.
Jake is throwing it regardless.
Just to let you know it's coming. Yeah. Cause it's reaction. It's wearing him down. So that's what I think. And I think he could do that for JJ, and then it's like, yo, that's a different fight.
KSI versus Jake Paul. I'm excited to see that happen.
I just have one question on that note. I know you're switching. Does JJ have to take that fight?
No.
He doesn't, does he?
I mean, I think if he doesn't take it, the whole internet erupts on him. So I think he has to for that reason. But
I'll tell you why he's going to take the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And yo, I want to preface this. Don't if you're going to clip this, you motherfuckers, leave this part in, because I will hate you if you don't. I'm going to try to be as like unbiased here and like not spew negativity. JJ's music career, it ain't going anywhere.
Wait, he's charting. He's the first influencer to
UK,
chart.
In the UK.
No, I know that, but it seems
with
like
features.
It seems like
actual
time.
Artists on the hooks.
I hear you. It just seems like a weird time to make such a concrete statement when he's charting. And by
charting
the way,
charting in the UK,
he's saying
going somewhere.
No, I get that. I just it just the timing, just because the industry's kind of talking. Like he's talking about, people are talking about. They're like, yo, we have influencers actually charting.
No. These are artists.
Shawn Mendes was an influencer.
Using him to get on his songs, make catchy ass hooks, and then he ruins it in the verses.
Yeah.
You can't tell me I'm wrong. You can't tell me, bro. The hooks are good. The melodies are good. But like, I just don't believe that KSI is a musical artist. Yeah, I just don't think he is. And I think
I agree with you there.
Of course. It's historically in the past, I even made fun of him for this when we did our press conferences. He struggled with his music and getting views on his music videos that he drops hundreds of thousands of dollars on, and he always has. So I think he's going to do his tour. By the way, it's going to be successful. I'm not saying that right now he's not like popping and he won't sell out arenas and shit, but like coming from a strict, like an art standpoint, I don't think anyone listens to his music and is like, yo, this kid's going to be like one of the biggest in the world. Maybe in the UK, because he runs the UK. He's got a big presence. He beat me in the fight. But I think when his music starts to slow down because his music can't stand alone on its own, he'll want to get that second boost and then take the fight against Jake. Mm-hmm. I told Jake, I think the fight's going to take place in 2021. I don't think it'll happen this year. His music videos are good. They always have been. Content. Visually, the kid fucking kills it. He's a very good YouTuber.
Yeah.
I don't want to take that away. I'm just saying, like, from a musical artist standpoint, that ain't it, Chief. And there's nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's fine.
Same with me, by the way. I'm not good at, like, becoming a musical artist. I can do a diss track every now and then. Antonio Brown. But yeah, this is my opinion.
Did you talk about AB yet? The little scrum you guys had at the Maxim party?
Yeah, so we were in Miami. Me and AB met on stage in front of a lot of people, and we started talking. And dude, it's just like, to be honest, this is the last time his name's going to come out of my mouth. He's wasting my fucking time. The diss track was a way for me to be like, okay, you clearly don't want this fight because you're dumb and you're going to lose. And you've wasted my time. Fuck you. So I dropped this diss track that was unlike any of my other diss tracks. Like, we actually tried to make like a good song with a good melody, a good hook, and some catchy lyrics. And we did. The internet the internet's taking it really well. Like a lot of the comments are
like it.
A lot of the comments are like, damn, Logan made a good song. This wasn't supposed to happen.
My favorite tweet was from Adam22, who has his finger on the button on hip hop and is a representative of the hip hop community, saying, this Logan Paul diss track is actually better than 90% of what people send me to listen to for their rap songs. Like, he tweeted that. And so it's been fun. Me and Jeff were both, are we nervous. Doing, is this happening or what? Yeah. And then when it came out, it fucking slapped.
It's cool. No, happy. Once he played it for the first time, facts. It was like, yo, this is,
yeah, we heard it.
A dope song.
And then, yo, especially because, again, like being a YouTuber, like everyone relies on your visual. If your visual is good, it can make the song twice as good. And the visual is very good. And I remember I told you I made the song. I was like, yo, I think I made a slap. And you go, I think for some reason this time I believe you. But but yeah, I don't. My personal opinion, I don't think AB's going to take the fight. I think this is the beginning of the end of his life. Like, truly,
he's asking for a lot of money.
He's asking for a lot of unrealistic money.
A whole lot of money.
I don't think. We will pay.
I'm working on it.
I don't think the NFL will pay. I don't think anyone will pay him ever.
Rick Ross says otherwise.
Yo, why am I always beefing with Rick Ross?
Bro, just shows up.
When I was warming up in the ring to fight KSI, yeah. I looked to my left and like Rick Ross is standing there because he was on JJ's song. I'm like, this is fucking weird. All right, okay. And then I'm facing off with Antonio Brown. I look to my right and Rick Ross is behind him.
Freeway Ricky. At what point is he just, are you in Rick Ross beefing? Like,
is that the fight you take next?
Wow.
Rick Ross. Well,
I'm pretty sure Rick Ross's children are fans of yours. I remember that happening. Oh. Somebody was talking to him and they were like, yo, kids are huge Logan Paul fans. We want the merch. I swear, bro, we should send them some merch.
I'm on stage, and I'm saying whatever to Antonio Brown. I'm chirping a little bit, and Rick Ross goes, 25 million. And I'm like, first off, Rick Ross, what the fuck are you doing? You're second off, are you representing Antonio Brown? Is this the deal hilarious right now? And then Antonio Brown lowered it $5 million. He goes, 20 million. And I'm like, yo, I'm not making a deal with you right here, right now, for no reason.
Nor do I have.
Bruh, he thought we did. Yo, this dude went home thinking we had solidified a $20 million deal, me and him, the athletes.
So who pays who?
He went home to broadcast to his 2,600 IG live viewers. There was my mom gets more viewers on her IG. Like, what is he commanding $20 million for exactly?
No, if he just said 20 million, maybe he was saying he was going to pay you.
Oh.
The best is my mom calls and is like, I read this article that Antonio Brown's going to sue Logan Paul. Is everything okay?
For a fan-made flyer. What the fuck, dude?
But fake news.
Yeah, the feedback on the song has been great. It's good to see you guys love it. And I see a lot of comments like, yo, you release actual music and stuff, you know, and like release the music that you made in Sweden. And it's so crazy because like when I try to make real music, I hate it. Mm. But like these fun diss tracks kind of just like.
Do you think you just need to be like some level of comedy in your music?
I've always said it. I have an album idea. It's somewhat in the vein of Lonely Island.
Mm-hmm.
It has Logan doing every genre. But comedy, he already has his.
Flat Boys, bro. We're taking over.
Dude,
here's what I want to happen.
There's a Grammy for best comedy
really?
Album.
Adam all right, Sandler, well, let's do Hanukkah
it.
Song.
Is it really?
Best comedy. Oh, dude, that's like
there's a Grammy for best comedy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Fact.
What are we doing?
What fact. The fuck are we doing? Bro,
here's what I want.
It always
want,
takes a couple of years for I, you to listen to
on
me.
God. On God.
I want Mike.
I'll win that. On God, bro. And then I'll say this. Shout out to Impulsive. I said it here first.
But nice.
I love you guys, ride or die.
We finally hit 2 million followers. 2048.
Mike, this is what I want. I want you to be our like... The plug, basically. You're the night shift, and we put all the music videos for the comedy stuff on
just run
night
there.
Shift, and you that. Fund it.
I like that.
We already have Poets Corner. Just add it in.
Why not?
What else we got? We got a chance to hang out with some TikTok boys while we were in Miami.
That was interesting.
Mm. We found out this about them. They try to steal your girl the second you leave them alone.
But they can't.
Wouldn't you? And didn't you do the same?
Yeah.
When you were a Vine boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But they can't. And then they play with plastic bags until 4 a.m.
What do they do with them?
And I don't know.
Beat up. Trample around on
I don't know. I don't know, bro. These kids have so much energy just making TikToks in the kitchen like this with their plastic bag. I texted Mike. I'm like, who the fuck is playing with a plastic bag? It's 3:30 in the morning. TikTok boys making TikToks.
We met a lot of cool people on the trip in Miami too. We got to go to the Super Bowl, got to run into a bunch of people, Pharrell, fucking Ludacris up in the lounge. And
amazing.
I ran into our good friend G-Eazy in the lounge too.
Friend.
He's cool to me.
It's not cool to Logan.
No,
that's what I'm picking
is,
up.
But,
that's what I'm
right,
picking up.
Right.
I don't know.
Here's the deal.
I don't know.
Here's
anything.
The deal. Let me just spill a little tea.
I'm a viewer.
There's a lot of tea here, dude. Not in this particular situation, but just in LA in general. We live in an incestual fucking situation here. Bad. Bad. Very bad. Most of the girls have had sex with either G-Eazy or Tyga or probably both.
Or Logan Paul.
That as well. But then every single girl, without any exceptions, has had sex with Diplo. Like, that's just as table stakes. Like, if you're a girl that you're talking to in LA, she's fucked West or Diplo, yeah. Right? And so, I don't know how deep the line's blurring again between the content and the fucking real life shit.
It's all real, man. It's all real.
What's happening?
Nothing. He's leading me. So anyway, so I go up to the fucking lounge with fucking Lana. And, you know, he's
at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And say what's up to some FaZe members. And he took a little interest.
Took a liking to Lana.
Took a little interest. And she was like, I don't know. She's like, let's go back to the seats. But then like the next day he like followed her on Instagram, like DM'd her and shit. But I see him all the time. Like I just saw him in New York. It felt like saw him in Miami and saw him in New York.
He told Mike he was the cleanest.
He's like, you're the cleanest motherfucker out here. I was like, is it because of my porn star girlfriend?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
But there's like more to this story that we're not talking about, dude. I don't fucking know. Cool dude. Okay. Friends with everybody. Great performer.
Let's talk about it and just maybe it makes it, maybe it doesn't.
I will wait to see if this narrative develops. At which point, then I will say something maybe. But for now, I'm gonna leave it be.
Oh, but where I was getting at was keep the most easy. Exciting person, or the person I was most excited to meet.
Not Pharrell?
That was cool.
Special.
That was cool. You want to know what the most excited I got? Casey Fry. Fred. Wow. A heartthrob. I mean, honestly, I met the like.
We were hanging out with him at the club, and then you guys hung out with him at the.
I saw him at an after party like 6 a.m., and I went up to him and I go, Casey, man, I know I told you earlier, but I am a massive, massive fan.
I told him, I said, yo, we got to do a collaboration. I mean, both Logan and him are the ones that have broken the internet many times.
Yo, if
it would be
if
amazing.
You haven't seen this kid, I'm going to play a video of his right now. This kid is. An absolute phenom.
He has
phenom.
Your number. He said he was like,
yeah. Oh, no, they're connected. They're connected.
A comedy brilliant. Phenom. It's one of my favorites.
He just doesn't care.
So you want to live long, so you want to be free. Baby, running out of town, it's a really bad beat. Call me, she want to play hard to get this for mommy. For me, but I never wait long. I move on to what I need. I get my way, get out my way. Switch my place, I'm on my way, yeah. No mistakes, I know the stakes, yeah. I don't show face, I keep my pace, yeah. I don't show face, I keep my go crawling down on my knee. That's me, I don't talk down, I just move how I need. Oh, late, I don't want time, she going both ways. Losing control, all that bullshit gets on you.
One of my favorite videos.
Just incredible.
He so convincingly plays three different characters.
I think it could A, be a brand deal for the song, so promotional.
I think
song.
It's his friend.
This was. Then, yeah,
so it's got 54 million views for that, which is unbelievable. It's like back in the Vine days. Did you see
60 million?
Did you see something else that he's wearing something that you also own in the video?
Oh, one of the hats or some shit?
No. What? What, a chastity belt?
Close. You're very close. It's actually
the underwear. I saw that. Yeah, we have the same underwear.
Different brand?
Same brand.
That's crazy.
So we meet him at the club, and I went up to him at the after party, too, and I was like, hey, man, just reiterating. And I go, how'd you get here? You know, how'd you get to this party? And he goes, I have no idea. And like, yo, every dude, this dude literally... in the weirdest way just drips swag, dude. Like drips, he just is
he's comfortable with himself.
He's so comfortable with himself and just like authentic to who he is. I think like if he put a little bit more I think
he's being strategic. Isn't he part alien?
I don't yes.
There's a video about that.
Yeah, can you pull up one of his sketches?
He's not from this planet.
Bro, this is what he texted me. I say, okay, fire, we'll see you there probably. He said turds. He said, you guys there? I'm heading over. I said, not yet. Going to be over in a bit. He said, turdsies.
Because he just does.
And then he said, bro, I've been stripping for 20s. I said, I see a bunch of butts. Which is yours? He says, square. Bro, he's always clowning.
He's good.
I was hoping to show one of his sketches. Because it's not just dance. He's a great dancer, but he's also hilarious in comedy. But
I was excited to meet him, too.
I think he's one of these creators that I don't think he's driven for the same reasons that we are.
No.
I think he will make a video And then he'll spend a week sitting with his buddies at his house playing that game where you throw the ball into the net and it bounces off and somebody else hits it back.
Handball.
I like that one.
Oh, no.
And just drinking spike ball and drinking Busch Lights and shooting the shit with his boys.
I'd love to be there.
You know what I'm saying? He's living like the same life, but I think he still lives in like, what, like Michigan or some shit?
No, he lives here.
Oh, he does. Yeah. In LA? Yeah. In LA, yeah.
In LA, yeah.
Are you guys going to collab at all?
Maybe. You know who I met in the club? For the first time ever? Long overdue? Aubrey.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Where?
Drake, yeah.
Didn't go well.
Little sister.
In New York. Didn't go well?
We're in New York. We heard we're going to Drake's private little party at Little Sister. Models, artists, actors, whatever. And I said I was going to do Sober 2020, but I had three rules.
Parties.
Vacation.
Yeah.
The Ranch and Coachella.
Yep.
And this was one of the two nights on the trip that I decided to drink.
Every single day since January 1st has been either Vacation, Ranch, or Coachella. Every single day. And by the way, he's done quite good with that fact in mind. He's only drank a handful of days, and every single day, the next day, he says the same thing.
Never gonna drink
again. I never drink again.
Yo, it is legit the dumbest shit on the planet. And maybe it's just because I've fallen in this wave of like negative thinking. I'm like trapped in my ways. But dude, coming from someone who, especially recently, has been addicted to being productive and just slaying everything, drinking destroys me.
He'll hit me up at like 3 p.m. and I'll be like, I'll have uploaded my vlog. It's already got 750,000 views on it. And I'm like, hey man, what's going on? He's like, food. I'm like, well, what? I mean, don't you have a vlog coming out tomorrow? Like, he's like, I really got to eat, man. Also, yeah.
Bro,
I'm like,
worst.
Dude.
Yo, my question is this. How in the world do you guys continue to go to loud, dark clubs and like dance and party and talk to people at like max volume the whole night?
No. Don't talk to people.
I know, but you somehow Mike finds a way. Like there's some communication happening. I have no clue.
So the thing for me is, which is a little different than him, is I know at when I go to the club, that's my zone. Mm-hmm. I know all the people, all the movers and shakers of the club owners, the promoters. I know all those people. And so I'm having conversations about shit. He only knows obviously like the A and B listers because he is one. And so I'm talking to the Schwartz. I'm talking to Chris Alamo, all the people that run the club about shit, you know, where, how's the party been? How's business. The business? Yeah. Like that kind of shit. And so for me, plus prior to my, you know, engagement, my fiance and shit, I
he's engaged.
You heard it first.
That was quick.
Impulsive.
I would usually be trying to pick up chicks too.
That's not a good look. Aubrey.
I was like, yo, nice try.
Oh yeah. So I see, I'm kind of just like, drunk. I don't even know what, just meandering about, just being like a drunk idiot. And I see Drake.
Oh my gosh.
First time I seen him in person, bro. Fucking Jake said it before. The dude's perfect. He's so good looking. He smiles at me. I'm like, oh shit, what's up, bro? Comes over, daps me up. He goes, yo, big win for Brody. Referring to Jake and his just won
you
his
go,
fight.
Who's that?
No, please, you did not say.
No. So now I'm like, okay, sober up and have a conversation where he walks away thinking, this kid's not an idiot. I got this. I've done it before. I got this. But bro, it was like 2-3 a.m. It's around that time where like, I just can't help but be an idiot. And so I'm like, yeah, man, that win was big for our family, whatever. And then he goes into a 5-minute wisdom nugget drop where he's just professing the nobility of being a creator and like the waves we've made and the trail that we've blazed.
Wow.
And he's like, yo, you guys are changing the game. Like you can never forget that. Like you got a big responsibility. I think you're doing a great job killing it. You've made mistakes, but you're on a new wave. I could see. And just like praising me to the highest degree, dude. And I'm first off, I'm like, holy shit. This is crazy. And so at the end, I tried to do my best to reciprocate the excellence that he just blessed me with. And like the best I got out, it wasn't bad, but the best I got out was like, dude, you're the GOAT. The best I can do is try to follow in your footsteps because you've done it. You've taught me a lesson. You inspire me. Like I legit like study what you say. I watched a rap writer interview for an hour. Like it wasn't bad.
That's fine.
But I was operating at 60% instead of 100%, and I was disappointed because of that.
Oh. But I wouldn't be disappointed. I think that was good.
Would you want to ask him in public right now for another shot? Maybe.
I mean, please just give me another chance, Aubrey. Please.
Did you?
I think you probably did better than you think you did. Yeah. That's a tough thing. If he like professes wisdom to you for 5 minutes, you got to absorb that. You don't even know what to say.
I was listening intently, but the whole time I was like,
"Is this going on? Is this a dream?"
No, it's just like he's giving me so much like solid energy and so much of his time when he could be literally talking to anyone else in the club and just like, and I don't know how. I almost didn't know how to receive it from like who I believe, and I've said on the show before, is the greatest of all time. It was odd. It was odd.
The first thing I noticed about him when I met him was he is large. He's like you expect him to be Drake from
he's
like
mass,
bro. Yeah, I know. He's a big fucking dude. And then by the way, say he's like 6'1" or whatever. Since he's Drake, he's 7'1". And so like that just adds to it. Now you're now I'm talking like I have to climb a ladder to say what's up to him.
There was one point when you came out to LA in the beginning and you moved into 1600 and you were like,
I was thick.
You were like thick and like bulky.
Yeah.
What was that from? What were you doing?
Lifting weights.
And taking?
Not taking anything, just lifting weights.
But not like weight gainer or like protein. Mm-hmm.
I think Drake has a big frame when he lifts weights. And on the
because
same
if
way.
You go back to the grass, it's like really slender and skinny. Yeah, that's what I've recognized too.
But yeah, bro, he's like, dude, that dude's hella inspirational for me. Not even as like a musician, because I don't do music, but just like as a person. And even do you remember when he got booed off stage at Tyler the Creator's Can't Flog Gnaw and the way he handled it?
Yeah.
It's
amazing to get that from people. Just in general, anybody.
That's
right?
How you know it.
But somebody else who you look up to, it's just awesome that there's a reflection in this world that can come back to you and give you some real sharp wisdom, where if it came from a fan, you'd be like, thanks, dude, that's awesome. And you go, bsh. But because of what his stature is, it actually paused you and you listened.
Yeah. Well, he's the guy.
But everybody's here. Everybody's here to give you that.
I just like, yes. But there's a point where you have to weigh someone's credentials, and the weight that his words have, as much as this hurts to hear, to me, are heavier than every single other person in my life that's talking to me. Besides like the inner circle, but like, I don't know. That was awesome.
Amazing. It's funny that you talk about this like wisdom and like his ability to kind of praise someone that he just has a passing conversation with. I know he knows enough about them, but I noticed that so much over the past, you know, 6 months or so, that the sign of true greatness in this industry are people that do similar things to that. And I talked about it on the flip side. The easiest way for me to spot like a loser, or I said this on Twitter, or somebody that doesn't get pussy, is a person that just talks shit online all day. Easiest way. Yo, this person just comments mean shit on people's posts all day. That person is not doing anything with their life. On the flip side, the people that do the greatest and that are doing the greatest things, completely different scenario, but obviously just sold his company for hundreds of millions of dollars. Sat with Greg on the boat in Miami for hours, and he talked to me about every possible thing.
Like, took his time and sent me an email.
Yep.
Long list of here's what stuff we talked about and here's what can help you.
It's just
so thankful.
It's just such a sign of true greatness is how much time people take out of their lives to make other people better.
Yep.
It's incredible.
I love that energy.
It's incredible.
Speaking of the goats,
the Joker.
You
best actor award from the Oscars.
That wasn't Joaquin. What I was going to say.
Oh, my bad.
I'm curious to see where the tie there was.
You said goats.
Goats. So
I thought it was Phoenix? A great act. It was a great acting role. I saw it for the first time on the plane last night.
Haven't watched yet.
Did you like it?
It was the darkest movie I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty twisted.
The darkest, most twisted movie I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
Somebody wrote up an article on it, like about gun control and mental health,
everything,
and all this stuff. That's like really why it was so in the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who directed it? Todd Phillips, right?
Yeah.
Who directed The Hangover?
Yep.
That's so, it's so cool to see comedy directors do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
To that level was really cool.
Did you see that Bradley Cooper had a hand in it too?
He did. What did he do?
Producer.
That was a hard, to be honest with you, it was a hard movie to watch. Like there were parts of it where I was like, yo, I don't want to watch this movie anymore. Almost, it is so fucking dark.
Assume it could have went to Bradley Cooper and he had it. And therefore, he gets an executive producer if he passes on it and goes to another actor. So that could have been the situation. I don't know.
But Joaquin's acting in that movie was,
yeah, was
one
incredible.
Of the most amazing. Absolutely amazing things. I mean, amazing. How much weight did he lose for that?
I thought it was hard to watch just because it wasn't good. My takeaway was just like, eh.
You like fast-paced things,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, like action.
There's not explosions and hot girls.
My whole
crashes.
Yeah. You don't have
best favorite
no
movie
appetite.
Ever, Avengers.
Baywatch.
No.
Baywatch. The recent one?
My whole, like, for me, my favorite movie to watch is character development. I love to see a character, and which is exactly what Joker was.
Adam Sandler. That movie was such a, like, it seemed like it was almost too much of like an instruction manual on how to be an anarchical like icon.
Just absolutely, just such a shit fucking situation for that dude, bro.
I was gonna say, speaking of goats, John Jones, the John Jones fight just happened, and
You're gonna say something?
I'm gonna say something because I haven't publicly, but no, not controversy. Just like, I don't think John Jones won that fight. And it's coming from a dude who wanted John Jones to win the fight and tweeted beforehand, John Jones is the baddest man on the planet, which I still believe, except this particular fight, the dude Dominic Reyes showed up and was the better fighter, and he got fucking snubbed, bro.
Why did he win?
Why did he win? I have so much empathy for him, and I even DM'd him. I'm like, you won that fight, fam, because I know what it's like. Not even so much so, like, mine was controversial. This, to me, was such, like, a blatant disrespect of how hard the up-and-coming undefeated fighter was and how hard he worked, and they just shit on him, dude. The one judge, I think the two judges scored it 47-48, 47-48. Yeah. It was 1 point.
Yep.
The one judge scored it 46-49. Like, what fucking fight are you watching, dude? The judging in combat sports is so just, like, disappointing and subjective.
It upsets me,
dude, because he put so much time into beating this guy, and to just get like cheated like that and see like the disappointment in his face and see how humble he was in defeat, even though like him, his team, and everyone who watched that fight knows that he rightfully won it, is just like, is disappointing. It makes me actually sad.
What are the reasons why he lost? You have to show up versus a champion, right? To take the belt.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to show up.
You have to beat the champion.
To the power punches, and I think you said that this was also like a little bit rigged, kind of. All the power punches they showed back that I hadn't noticed through the fight, because when we watched the fight, it looked like the other Reyes was winning a majority of the fight. But when we watched the power punches back, I mean, he was getting fucking clobbered by John Jones.
They would only, the highlights so that they would show were only John Jones beating Reyes' ass.
They didn't show any of his uppercuts.
And by the way, I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast where either him or his guest mentioned that has in the past swayed the judges, because the judges will like look at the thing and just see like domination on behalf of one fighter. And it was fucked. I think it was universally agreed that Jones won the first two rounds.
No,
sorry. Reyes won the first two rounds. Jones won the last two rounds, which I agree with. Yeah. My opinion, Reyes also dominated the third round, but because of like a takedown that was essentially ineffective, because Reyes got up right away. I think he had like one or two like takedowns, but I think they gave that round to Jones. But
even in that case, like you said, that fight could have been a draw. Afterwards, you said this, like, either Reyes won or it's a draw. And you like, can you take the belt from a champion when it's like, when it's that close? Jones did a
can't.
He had a great fight.
I think it's politics, dude.
Jones also.
He didn't go down. He took the punches. He delivered punches. Kept kicking. Kept standing in there.
Jones?
No.
He's lost one, but he's regarded as an undefeated fighter because of, I think he got disqualified because of an illegal elbow. Like, he didn't actually lose.
He wasn't very.
And this other guy is undefeated.
He was an undefeated.
So he's
the most promising.
He's got one also. So it's
It's just so disappointing, bro. Like,
he'll be back. Reyes will be back.
Sounds like there'll be a rematch for sure.
And that was the biggest thing I said to him, because he was upset about it. I think he showed up and he proved to everyone that he's a great fighter. Jones wasn't also very I didn't really like Jones' approach in his after speech. He was very like, yo, I'm the king. Like, I did great takedowns. Like, he didn't really give too much like respect to the fact that was close.
It seemed like he was talking a little slow. He had trouble in his stomach during the first part.
Yeah.
Interviewing fighters after their fights is dumb. You have to do it, but like, bro, they don't know what the fuck they're saying. They're just like attempting to string together words, especially a 25-minute fight with head kicks.
You knew enough to tell the guy that he asked you the same question twice. It was hard to watch that interview.
Which the one
like, well,
after
I
my fight.
That, for you, but.
That was so weird, bro. Yeah.
You did a good job.
Radio Raheem, why, what are you doing, bro?
Yo, should we go out back and trade head kicks?
Wow. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. What else we got going on here?
Oscars.
There's a segment if you want to.
I didn't watch it. Nah, we got the next guest coming in
can we,
2 minutes.
Can we talk about the like very quickly about the response to Penna? And like people, Penna. Yeah, like people's response to that.
My personal favorite podcast we've ever done.
Really? Yeah, I loved it too. It was so funny. The majority of people were pretty in agreement with us, but there's some people that were like, that man's a legend. You snowflake. Like, he got back into that same snowflake like mentality.
Oh, bro. You see, there's like a small little horde of Caitlyn Bennett gremlins who have been like chirping just a little bit.
They've been after me too.
Because they called you a hypocrite or something?
She made a video. She made a long video about us. Got hundreds of thousands of views on it.
Yeah, it's almost like, I guess people's opinions only matter if you give them weight, and she's just a human who has no weight. And like words that come out of her mouth are absolutely meaningless.
I said on Twitter. I think she's the one person that she tries so hard to continue to divide the conservatives and the liberals.
Yep.
But she's the one person that, ironically, the liberals and the conservatives are all against
her.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like nobody supports her rhetoric. No one supports any of her divisive speech except for a very fringe crew. And I bet you, it's the same crew that supports Dan Penna. The same kind of fucking crew of just a psycho, old school mentality. Fuck Johnny. Cheat, steal, kill at all. Fucking crazy. Like.
Just lunatic.
Yeah.
Straight lunatic.
I'm not. And by the way, I'm not saying that's Caitlyn Bennett's mentality, but like, you have to have a little something tweaking up in your mind to subscribe to her way of thinking as you would to subscribe to Dan Penna's way of thinking. These people are so out of touch with reality.
I think it's they like to be polarizing so that they have attention.
That's
what they're striving for attention. It's I want to be heard. Yeah. So I have to be crazy enough because I can't be normal and get that attention.
So as opposed to just giving head randomly to outside of clubs, she does gun. Also, yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing at the end of the day is when you have the chance to do it, make sure you don't fucking give these people attention. Ever. And by the way, that's why I'm mad at myself, because I tweet about it. I talk about it on Twitter. And people are like, yo, if you really don't want to drive attention to her cause, why are you talking about it? But it's
true.
So hard when someone's trampling you, as you know better than anyone, when an entire community is like trampling you and talking all that shit, so hard to stay silent. Yesterday, I posted and deleted so many fucking tweets, or like didn't post them, but.
I mean, look, Logan handled, you know, a situation in Berkeley that could have easily went that opposite way, but was like forgiveness. All good and move on.
Bro, it just doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter to like. Okay, this girl who just walked up to me and spit on me. Like, you are a human who, your actions and words have no weight in my life.
Yeah. True.
But what I can do for you is wish you the best and give you as much love and positivity as I possibly can. So maybe one day, myself and others will hear you.
She will never forget that. It goes the other way. It's a different situation.
And it just makes you look
smack her in the head. That would have been horrible.
She'd probably forget that one because of brain damage.
CTE.
Our next guest is coming. Is he here? Oh, Milton's asleep. Oh, we should get that boxing coach. I swear to God, this guy is so good at falling asleep at the most random place.
It's crazy because I think our podcast is pretty entertaining.
My favorite story ever was the 2-hour trip to the 15-minute hotel. It was amazing.
Oh my God,
amazing.
Dude. That was the worst.
I thought it was going to be filmed. I thought like there was like Milton, just a time lapse.
We were in San Francisco and we had a 15-20-minute drive home to where we were staying in San Francisco. And Milton took us around the entire entire bay.
Peninsula.
25 minutes turning into 2 hours.
San Jose, and I go, Mil, we were talking, and like 45 minutes had gone by, and I go, Mil, I go, what's going on, man? I go, how much time we got left? He goes, says here, an hour 5. I go, Mil, it's a 16-minute trip.
Amazing.
And we've been driving for an hour. How does it say hour 5? He goes, I don't know. I just put in the address you gave me. And I look, and it says, turn off tolls. So he, to avoid a $2.75 toll,
$20.
Road, he drove 46 hours around San Jose.
We love you, Milt.
Hey, but you got there safely, huh?
Even debatable. That's debatable. Probably sideswiped a couple pedestrians.
All right, guys, hit that subscribe button or don't.
Start saying that. But
definitely go over to the vlog channel, hit that subscribe button. We're popping. We're back. Feels good.
Feels good to get through an episode without having a meltdown.
Fuck you guys. I'm walking.
Thank you guys. We'll see you next episode of Impulsive. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.